Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and I just love plants and helping people with their gardens. I'd love to hear from you. If you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on our iHeartRadio app, also the podcast, and everywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can hear it. We would love to have you join us. And you can listen at your own leisure or while you're working out in the garden. It's a good way to hear the show. So, Lizzie, I think I hear John Denver. And the dirty word of the day is a dirty phrase of the day. And it's cut and come again plants. What are cut and come again plants? When we typically think about growing gardens, we think about seasons. We grow cool season plants like beets and carrots, lettuce and kale in the fall and winter. And warm season plants like bok choy, chives, peppers, tomatoes, herbs, and purslane, and spinach and scallions in the summertime. Farms grow large expanses of crops for one harvest one time. But smaller gardens have the advantage of a caretaker or a gardener who can or needs to harvest on a daily or weekly basis. Benefits to having a cut-and-come-again garden includes reducing waste. You pick and cut what you want to eat when it's the freshest, leaving the rest to grow again for a future meal. If you don't have the space or to grow a lot of vegetables, you can store vegetables, cutting just what you eat, and that will reduce the waste. You can save money by not buying new plants or seedlings to extend your season. Your plants are already growing. No need to wait for it to have roots and become established. Plants can produce more leaves and flowers or fruit in a smaller area. It slows bolting. Cut and come again gardens with cool weather crops such as lettuce, spinach, broccoli, kale, some herbs, and even some flowers such as pansies and violas tend to bolt in hot weather, going to seed by putting out flower seeds before the harvest. Plants that bolt typically can develop a bitter taste. Harvesting regularly can postpone bolting, and furthermore, taking the outer leaves of leafy plants like lettuce and spinach prevents them from maturing, ensuring continued vigorous growth. So how do you cut and come again? Well, you keep an eye on the many leaves you have growing your plants and where they are on the plant. You can cut as many of the larger, older leaves as you need, but leave the youngest, brighter, smaller leaves to continue to grow. Trim the leaves down towards the base of the plant. Be gentle so you don't break or bruise the new growth. Once you cut the older leaves, the plant will force more effort into growing those smaller leaves. Whenever you're using tools in the garden, please make sure they're sharpened and sterilized to prevent disease and bruising. Cut 2 to 4 inches of the leaf just above a leaf node or a pair of leaves by using shears or your fingers to snap them off. Don't cut all the foliage so the plant can continue to go through photosynthesis, and only remove about a third of the plant. Removing more than this will cause stress and possibly death. Not all vegetable varieties are conducive to cut and come again. Keep an eye and a tongue to see how your vegetables are doing. Some plants can get bitter as they age or may decline after cutting. These plant varieties can differ by regions, weather, and zone. As with cutting flowers for floral displays and herbs for cooking, cutting your edibles in the morning helps plants stay their freshest till time for dinner. Place your harvest in cool water will help them hydrate so they don't dry out before use. So what are some cut and come again plants? Arugula, asparagus, bok choy, broccoli, celery, Chinese cabbage, chives, dandelion, daylilies, endive, fiddle leaf ferns and herbs, kale and lettuce, mustard, spinach, nasturtiums, purslane, radicchio, rhubarb, sorrel and spinach, spring onions, and Swiss chard. And the greens, which is the top foliage of a plant, usually a rooted plant, like your carrots and beetroots, collards, mustard, and turnips. You can cut these greens and help and come again in a few weeks after they've grown back again. So that's the phrase of the day. Have you ever heard, Lizzie, of cut and come again plants?
No, but that makes sense, though.
Doesn't it? So we're going to be right back. I'm very excited to have our next guest, Diane Blazek. She is the most knowledgeable expert in the newest plants coming on the market in the country. She is the executive director at All American Selection and National Garden Bureau. She's going to tell us what her job is there. And she has the winners of the Green Thumb Award to tell us all about. I'm very excited. Her Green Thumb Awards. I'm very psyched because they will grow here in Florida and all over the country. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawn and Gardens. Diane Blazek has been the executive director for All American Selections and the National Garden Bureau for 15 years and a media communications for another 15 years. She has the pulse of the country on new plants. She is going to tell us all about American Selections, and they've been around for 90 years. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Hopefully you're doing well as well.
We are. It's going to be a cloudy week, but, you know, with all the sunshine we get year-round, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, yes. That does not sound too bad.
So now you've been with All American Selections for 15 years. What do they do?
So All America Selections is a plant trialing organization, and what we do is we get new varieties entered into our trials from breeders from around the world, and we have volunteer judges all over North America, and they grow them out, they evaluate them, and if they perform well in the garden, they become an AAS winner, and then we market them.
That's wonderful. I am going to be going leading a tour to Buffalo, where we're going to go to the trial gardens in the Erie Basin Marina trial gardens. And
oh, yeah.
I am looking forward to that as well. So now you have the Green Thumbs Award, and you also call it the Professional's Choice. What does that mean?
Yes, so this is a newer program. We were talking about AAS. That's been around since 1932. Now, this Green Thumb Award is a much newer program. We've had it for about 3 or 4 years, even though another organization was running it prior to that. Mm-hmm. But this one is, it's not plants that have been trialed, like All America Selections, but these plants are evaluated by both professionals and consumers. So we've got Professional's Choice and People's Choice, two different sets of awards.
Right.
And people are asked to review them and vote on their favorite based on innovation.
Wow. Okay, so I am looking at them. They're very colorful. Start at the beginning. Tell us what made the awards.
Okay, so for the People's Choice, there is a Calibricoa in the annual, and it's called Leah Abstract Lemon Cherry. So this one has, you know, bright lemon blooms with cherry variegation on the flowers. So that's the annual.
That's beautiful, too. I'm looking at it, and it looks amazing. So bright.
Well, you were talking about sunshine, and I'm like, okay, that is just sunshine personified, I think.
It is.
And then for the edible, there is Broccoli Purple Magic, and it kind of explains it. It is a purple broccoli, and why it's so innovative is that it has both purple stems and a purple head.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, with purple vegetables, they may lose some of their color if you overcook them. So if you just eat them raw or lightly steamed or something, they'll retain the purple color.
Okay. That's good to know.
It is, yes. We also have hard goods in this program. So we have these planters from Crescent Gardening, and these are called Crescent 2 Circular Positive Planter Collection, and they're made with upcycled, recycled material, so taking it out of the landfill and making garden containers out of it.
They're beautiful, but Crescent Gardens has the most beautiful containers, and most of them are self-watering, so they are perfect for those people who travel, and they just look gorgeous. They have many different varieties. So I'm glad to see they won.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you. And then for our houseplant, we have a philodendron that's called Prismacolor Orange Eugorgeous. Love the name.
I do too.
Isn't it cute? Yeah. And the name orange, because it has this bronzy orange part of the leaves kind of on the exterior, a little bit of the veining mm-hmm. in a mottled lime green and green leaf. So that one is gorgeous. It's in its name, too.
That's wonderful. That is really nice. It's a nice indoor plant or a plant for a pool area in a cage, pool cage. That looks great. All right. Exactly. And you do have perennials, too, as well.
We do. In the People's Choice division, perennial is a Buddleia. This one is called Little Rockstars Red. It is hardy zones 5 to 9, but it's very compact. And so it's really good for maybe containers if you want to just kind of control it and have some butterfly-friendly plants in a container. And then we also have a flowering shrub. This one is called Hydrangea Flowerful Smooth. So it's a larger hydrangea just covered with white blooms, and it too is hardy to zones 9.
That's wonderful. Now, the Buddleia looks very dense. The color's beautiful. It's a kind of almost fuchsia red, but it's very, very tight and compact and blooms all over it. So, but it is, because Buddleia has gotten a bad reputation over the last few years, but it is a sterile version of it, right? So it doesn't,
right.
So it's a really good choice for the landscape now. So that I'm really pleased with that. Those are wonderful. And so what have the professionals selected?
Okay. So the professionals for the annual have chosen Cosmos Seashells Red. Maybe this was named for the Florida market. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. So the reason it's called Seashells Red is it has a unique flower. It's like the petals are curled. So the interior is a darker pinkish red. And then the exterior of each one of these curled, almost tubular petals is a soft pink. So seashells red.
It looks gorgeous. And you're right. It is tubular. That's fascinating. Butterflies will love that then.
Exactly, yes. And then for the edible or vegetable, we've got a new Everleaf basil. So Everleaf regular basil has been out for a while, and this one is lemon. So it has a lemon flavoring to it, which I love. When I make my pesto, I always throw in a little extra lemon juice.
Oh, yes.
So I use now some of this Everleaf lemon with the regular Genovese basil. But what's wonderful about Everleaf is it's columnar, but it's got very short internodes, so there are just a ton of leaves. I mean, the production off of one plant is amazing.
Oh, it does. It does look amazing. It's just, that's wonderful, too. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, and then the perennial is a hellebore, and it is called JWLS, which is a series, and then this one is called Endless. It has white flowers that are a little bit more upward facing. So, you know, with hellebores, usually they're downward facing. You have to put your little mirror in there.
Sure.
So these are upward facing and a very beautiful creamy white flower.
And what zone do those grow well in? Because I know that they grow a little bit further north.
Exactly. It is hardy zones 5 to 9.
Excellent. So North Florida, you definitely can grow that. That's wonderful. And then also the euonymus shrub. How is that? It looks exciting. I'm very excited about it. Tell us about it.
Yes. So here's what's very good about this one. We talked about this with Buddleia, but this one is the first burning bush that is bred to be sterile and non-invasive. So this one comes out of breeding from North Carolina. So it's a beautiful shrub, turns that brilliant red in the fall, and it is hardy to zones 8, so maybe north, north, north Florida?
Yeah, sure, right there on the border, the panhandle, yeah, especially this year. This year it can do really well, so that's
okay,
wonderful.
Good.
Well, that's great. So now, where can people find a list of these plants, and how do they buy them?
Okay. So on our website, which is ngb.org, which is basically just the initials of our organization, nationalgardenbureau.org, when you get there, go to New Plants, and below there it says Green Thumb Award winners. So that's where they're all listed, and they're also part of our New Plants program that's there also. With any of these, just search for them either on our Shop Our Members tab of our website or ask for them at your local garden retailer. They're very new, so maybe not 100% of the garden centers will have them, but keep asking for them, look online, you'll be able to find them.
I have done recently, I've not been able to find what I want in the box stores and nurseries. And so you can go online and purchase them, and they come delivered really nicely. So I'm pleased with that. So now you also put out a monthly newsletter that I so enjoy reading, and I learn something new every month that you send it out. So tell us about the National Garden Bureau monthly garden newsletter.
So yeah, we what we do is we have a lot of new blogs that are written for us, and so we take those blogs and turn them into newsletters and social media posts. So it's very easy to go onto our website under the inspiration tag is our blogs. Also, that's where you can sign up for the newsletter. And what we'll also be doing in each of those newsletters is featuring our members' products. So these Green Thumb Awards, some of our other new varieties. We work with authors, as you know, so we have a lot of new books that come out. So we feature all these in our newsletters that are sent out.
Wonderful. It's wonderful information. So Diane, tell us again, where can they go for this information? And I thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, you can go to ngb.org for new plants, Green Thumb, and then you can go to aaswinners.com to see the AAS winners.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I hope to see you this summer.
Thank you.
All right. That's Diane Blazek. She is the executive director for the All-American Selections. If you're interested in buying the latest and new seeds that are on the product for heirlooms and for new varieties, All Selections is a great website to go to and look for them. And then also the National Garden Bureau Green Thumb Awards, and you can sign up for their monthly newsletter too as well. It's free, and I enjoy reading it and learned so much that I can't wait to get it each month. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
And then pass it along. So these are beautiful plants, Lizzie. I'll send you, we're going to post them on our website so that everybody can see them. And our text messages, Nick and also Pinky, they're getting hungry listening. So it's been a good day if we're making them hungry.
I don't know, is that our job to make people hungry?
I think so.
How about this? Make them motivated to fulfill that hunger by growing what they are hunger for.
That's it. You know, and that's what we should do is being able to grow our own food. And it's so easy to do. Even if you're in an apartment, a condo, you can grow food in a container and have enough for, you know, several meals, and just the enjoyment digging in the dirt. It makes you feel so much better.
Yes, exactly.
And it does. We are going to be taking your phone calls now. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. And so we do appreciate it. I want to say a big shout out to Ira. Ira's listening this morning, and he's wanting to know whether he should cut his bananas back and his Hawaiian ties that have gotten nipped in the frost. Don't do it yet, because they're going to get nipped again. And so we'll just go ahead and wait a month. You don't need to cut them back. If you feel like cutting something back, you can cut your ornamental grasses back. You can do that now. You don't need to commit crepe murder. We don't want you to do that. There's no reason to. All right. So just do it. Don't do it this year. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. So thank you to everyone who is texting. I do appreciate all your messages, Nick and Pinky. Thank you so much. Good morning, Teresa. This is from Bill in Orlando. We have some winter rye whose color is turning yellow from a dark green. There's an area that was fertilized last year and it's dark green. Could we use a little fertilizer, some liquid iron to green it up while we can enjoy the winter rye? Yes, you can. And so if you have a winter crop, then fertilizing it now is fine because they're used to growing in cooler weather. So you can green it up. And I would just probably suggest that it's probably just the rain that is leaching the nutrients out. So liquid fertilizer or liquid iron and liquid fertilizer you can go ahead and use too as well. That'll be just fine. Also, too, Pat in Melbourne said, back in Florida again, is it too late to plant flower bulbs for the spring? Well, if you mean flower bulbs for the spring, like tulips and daffodils and those kind of bulbs, yes, it is. You want to start those in late September, October, November, so that you can enjoy them during the cooler seasons of the month. By the time they're refrigerated for, 8 to 10 to 12 weeks, which they would need for chill hours, then it's going to be April and May, and it's going to be too hot for them. They'll only last literally probably a week if they grow, week to 10 days, if they even last that long. But you can plant Florida bulbs, and you can go on to our What to Plant This Month on our blog, and you can see that, and it tells you all the bulbs that you can be growing right now. And I mentioned them earlier in the show in the first hour, I think. Mm-hmm. So you can go back Pat, and listen to the first hour, and I'll give you a list of bulbs that can be planted right now. So if we do have some beautiful ones.
Yes, go to betterlawns.com, and you will see the podcast. I just loaded it up there from the first hour.
There you go. And so we did have a caller,
yes,
who was kind of upset that he saw irrigation going off and at the wrong time of the day and overspraying.
And it happens more often than not, and the low maintenance of the government-owned, like, islands or the areas.
Yeah. So what do you do if you see that happening in your area? One, I would find out if it's overspraying, then you definitely want to call your local utility, your water department, and let them know. And just stay on top of them until they come and fix it. They do need to be maintaining these areas. They shouldn't be wasting water. They should be good examples for homeowners. But if it's just watering during a time when it shouldn't be, then if it is reclaimed water, they have to get rid of it. So sometimes you'll see them coming on when you're not really supposed to be watering. But with all the rain we've had, they've got to disperse it. So there's sometimes reasons why you see the water coming on when it shouldn't be. Other times, too, is that it hasn't rained enough to get to turn off the rain sensors. It may only did a 16th of an inch when you need an inch to shut it down. So it might not have gotten enough water in that area. But to always let your utilities know, your cities and your counties, your utility companies know, right, and just stay on top of them, because if there's an automatic sprinkler system, they have to be on a water sensor that shuts them down. That's a state law. It's been a state law since 1981, and they need to know that there's not one there. And so my big pet peeve is seeing that the water sensor is underneath a tree or underneath a roof, and it's never going to work correctly to begin with. And it's just kind of a finger to our water restrictions.
Yeah, and I highly suggest take time and date. Keep your, yes, little notebook, and then email them. That's actually a better way than just calling. Because then there's a documentation that goes to the government email or the county email.
And they have to show a response to,
correct,
it.
So I found that it works quicker. So take the time to write the time and the date. And if you want to take a picture, that's great. But don't get yourself into a situation where you're in the middle of a road or anything and taking pictures. But
like
like Teresa does. But do full documentation, so that way you aren't saying, oh, they always leave it on, or there's no always. Where's always in history? So it needs to be documented.
That is so smart. Thank you so much. That's great advice. And just be patient. Thank you. But thank you for noticing. And so many times, businesses that are closed on the weekends don't see their water going off. And so, again, let businesses know, too, as well, that you should know that you've got a flood in this area, or that you've got a geyser, from one of the irrigation sprinkler heads, and let them know. And usually these are run by property management companies. So contact the business and then tell them to contact their property manager, because we shouldn't be wasting that water. And really, the business should thank you, because they have to pay that water bill. And that the geyser is going off every time that the irrigation's on is not a good thing. It's a waste of water. So great question. Thank you so much for calling that in. And so let's go to Jim in Ocoee. Good morning, Jim. How can we help you?
I have a tomato question. I have tomatoes in buckets this year, 5-gallon buckets, uh-huh, but I have the same problem when they're in the ground. I mean, these things are like 4 or 5 feet tall, good and bushy and everything, and I've gotten like 1 in 3 tomatoes. What do I need to do to get more tomatoes out of what looks like a healthy bush?
Right. So you have to know that when tomatoes, if they're a nice and healthy bush, they will not germinate those tomato fruits if the temperature is over 85 degrees. So that's why here in Florida, we grow them 2 times a year. We grow them in the springtime and we grow them in the fall. And so we do not grow them in the heat of the summertime, which is...
Well, they're growing right now, and it's the same thing.
So, right. So how often do you fertilize?
I've been using 10-10-10, and I put it in when I planted them, but I haven't done a lot since then.
And how long has that been?
Oh, they're 4 feet tall, so 3 months maybe. I'm not
sure.
Yeah.
So I would just say, okay, so then you're looking for pollinators. They're not getting the fruit. Are you getting flowers?
No, not a lot of flowers.
Okay.
And I had 3 like large tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
But I should have more tomatoes.
Okay, how long have these plants been growing?
At least maybe 3 months.
No, I'm saying, so you've had them 3 months?
I think so.
Okay.
I hadn't picked it yet.
No, I'm saying from planting. So from seeds to, are they transplants? Are they older than 3 months?
No, they were transplants from, the box stores.
Okay. And so they've been growing for 3 months, and they don't have any fruit yet.
Oh, yeah, but like one. And it's a good-sized tomato.
Uh-huh.
But shouldn't I have more than one tomato?
Well, during the wintertime, no.
Oh.
Okay, so, that's what I'm saying. We start planting seeds for our tomatoes at the end of January, first part of February, and then they grow through till about May and June, and then we usually stop growing them in the summertime and then start them again in October, and then we go ahead and grow them again for the fall. So during the wintertime, I wouldn't expect to. Are they out in the full sun area? Are they in full sun?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would just suggest you need to be a little bit patient, Jim, okay? There you go. And we're going to let him, hopefully he'll call back. Eileen, we're going to take your call when we come back. 1-888-455-2967. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you missed any of today's show, the first hour or our second hour, you can go back to the iHeartRadio app and you can listen to the podcast. It'll be loaded, Lizzie, right up after the show.
Yes, exactly.
And you can go and listen to it, and you never need to miss one. You can subscribe free and get it and get noticed when it's downloaded, and that way you don't ever have to miss an episode. And so let's go to Eileen in Polk County. Good morning, Eileen. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm hanging in there.
Good for you.
Okay. First of all, I got the Plant Delights Nursery Catalog.
Is that not the best ever?
I haven't looked at all of it. I've been scrolling through. Before I buy anything, I'm going to talk to you.
Yes.
But I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why, when we get a freeze, do the weeds not die?
Okay, so a couple of reasons, and it just depends on the weed, all right? So it depends on what it is. You have to identify it. But we have our warm season summer weeds, and we have our cool season and cool winter weeds. And so if it is a winter weed, the winter is not going to affect it. But what it's going to do is it's going to go through its cycle, and it's going to recede, and it's going to pop back up next year during the winter time. So that's usually what most of the seasonal weeds do, is that they go to flower, and then the seeds get put back in the ground, and then they come back year after year. So that's one thing. The other thing is it may have not been too cold enough to actually kill it, which I'm kind of finding hard to believe. If it's a summer weed, it hasn't been, killed yet. But, sometimes the weeds are stronger than our plants, you know, our tropical landscape plants, and the temperature doesn't affect them. So it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, you want to talk about a bummer.
Yeah.
I hate this. Now I can't even spray.
Why can't you spray for weeds?
Because it has to be 80 degrees.
Oh, you're right. Well, I would say probably 70, 75. But
even going to reach that this week.
No, not this week. And it's going to rain, too. So you don't want to do it this week at all anyway.
No.
It's going to be a good day to sit inside, read the Plant Delights catalog, which is free. And it's so funny. It is just, it's just wonderful. But it has lots of plants for Florida in it.
Oh, they're beautiful.
They are, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can see me spending $1,000.
I can see that, too. And we need to talk you down from the ledge. Okay, so you do not need to be spending $1,000. Okay, I'm just going to let you know that right now. Okay.
Pop would have a fit. He would have a fit if I spent
exactly.
that much money.
Yes, and so, but it is one of the funniest catalogs. They are, you know, collector's items. And so if you want to go to plantdelights.com and you can order the catalog. I have every single one of the catalogs from about 15 years ago. And
really?
I just love them. And I love Tony Avent. He's just wonderful. I should have him on the show soon. I'll do that.
Well, I'm so glad that I ordered this magazine and it came.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, enjoy it. It's very funny. He's got a wonderful sense of humor, and I love it. So, Eileen, well, it's good to hear from you, hon. Thank you so much. And hopefully those weeds just stay dry this week.
I'm going to. It's going to be bitter cold out.
We say bitter in Florida like it's a really bad thing, you know.
Right.
Diane Blazik is in Chicago. Yeah. Diane Blazik is up north, and she's probably laughing at our bitter winter cold we're suffering through.
My cousin's up north, too.
Yeah.
And said it's like Iceland.
Yeah.
She said you can't get rid of the ice on the roads.
Nope.
She said it's horrible.
It really is. And so we have a lot to be thankful for that we can garden year-round, even in the cooler temperatures. But the rain, you just want to stay out of the rain. I don't want you to get sick.
Yeah, I can't believe how crazy it is how cold it's going to end up being.
Yeah,
so,
just every week or every couple of weeks it's going up and down, up and down. Thank you, Eileen. There you go. She's wonderful.
Yes.
And so I do want to say Quality Green Specialist Nursery, if you have not been, it is worth a trip to DeLand to go and visit the nursery. They have wonderful native trees and shrubs, and then they have beautiful fruit trees, plum trees, and all different kinds of tropical fruits. And then they have a large selection of flowers and shrubs. It is just a wonderful nursery to go to, and DeLand's such a special little city that you can go down and enjoy the day there and go in all the little shops and then take home plants.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They got little food. They got food, little restaurants throughout there that are hidden. And it's just
very cute.
Yes.
Very, very cute. And so then also, too, I really definitely want to thank our sponsors. And so if you hear an ad on our show, it is because they are a quality product. And they have a wonderful, wonderful company. And so Summit Responsible Solutions is our satellite, is our main advertiser.
Yes.
And they have one of the best products in the United States, and that is mosquito bits and dunks. And if you have an issue with mosquitoes, they have all the products that will sustainably protect your property and you and everyone that goes out in your yard and your pets, and you will not have mosquitoes. And so check it out, summitresponsiblesolutions.com, and let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the show. They're a great company. And, you know, we might not think we need, we're going to get mosquitoes now, but we are. South Florida has mosquitoes still.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We are going on like week four of being cold, cold weather.
Yep. So, but it's still not enough down in South Florida to get rid of the mosquitoes.
Ooh, right. Well, I use Summit Responsible Solutions on my own, so I it has helped a lot. So.
It is, and we're coming up into that season where we're going to need it. So just keep an eye on it. And then also, too, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. They are gearing up for their roses.
Those
of you in Lakeland, or if you want to make a pilgrimage to Peterson's Nursery, they have a great nursery too as well down in Central Florida, down in Lakeland. And they can go ahead and, you know, their roses are coming up.
Yep, I got the inside scoop.
And we will let you know that too as well. And Black Cow, you know, we were talking about amending the soils, and Florida has sandy soils, doesn't hold on to organic material very long. So you need to reapply, and adding the Black Cow manure to your garden beds, your landscape beds, and even to your lawn. You know, if you have especially sandy soils like they do in the Lake Wales Ridge area, the Clermont area, the Lakeland area, and up north through the prairie areas, Gainesville and the Panhandle, Black Cow is the perfect soil amendment. So take advantage of them, and then thank them also to S for Well. And so, Lizzie, we have, I made it through two shows. I've been sucking on honey lemon lozenges.
I know, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
The listeners can't, but I have extremely sensitive hearing, so I'm able to hear whenever. I can hear your breaths, too, whenever you take a deep
breath. You can tell, I'm kind of wheezing here.
Yes.
So, but I'm back. And so we are going to want to tell everybody to go to the website, go to Facebook page, like us. That's Better Lawns and Gardens on our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you. And we do appreciate everyone, Frank and Linda, everybody who goes on there and likes the post. That's wonderful. Share with your friends.
Yes.
You know, get them to listen to Better Lawns and Gardens. And if you don't get all 2 hours of Better Lawns and Gardens, you need to contact your station and say, hey, where's the other hour?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we would love to be on for the full 2 hours.
That's crazy to me. I was like, whenever you told me that last year, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They don't have us for 2 hours. Well, then how are you, like,
getting everything?
You're missing everything. So go to betterlawns.com, and you can search our podcast there. So,
and we have a large listener volume outside of the state. Texas is right up there. It's in the same zone as we are.
Right.
A little bit different weather, but right there they can do the same kind of practices we do here. And then also our overseas, our Australia listeners and our Singapore listeners and our India listeners.
And it's crazy that we have them out of the country too. But you know what? We love them all.
We do. So I hope everyone has a great week. Enjoy the cooler temperatures. They're going to be hot enough shortly anyway. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.